Greetings. This is Tyler McVeeters with your Decatur Herald and Review paper for Friday, January 24th, 2025. The front page story in Health and Education, St. Teresa moves to block heritage. School sees Behavioral Health Center as threat to students. Story by Tony Reed, R-E-I-D, out of Decatur. St. Teresa High School is seeking a court injunction in a last-ditch bid to block Heritage Behavioral Health Center from redeveloping the empty Northgate Mall as its massive new home. The leadership of the 159-year-old Catholic school had always threatened legal action as its final option if all attempts to persuade Heritage to go elsewhere failed. Ken Hendrickson, the executive director of the school's educational foundation, told the Herald and Review it was time to act to protect St. Teresa's more than 200 students aged from 14 to 18. "It's very unfortunate. We really did not want to enter into legal action, but it's our last resort," he said, "and our only intent is to protect our kids." The nine-page motion seeking the injunction spells out St. Teresa's concerns for its students if Heritage becomes its new neighbor with a site that stretches within 85 feet of the school's campus. "Sex offenders will be loitering within 500 feet of the high school building," said the motion, citing Illinois law that forbids such proximity. St. Teresa says such offenders are among Heritage clients who include patients seeking help with issues ranging from mental health disorders to substance abuse. "Substance abusing clients will be loitering in proximity to high school students and readily accessible to students within walking distance of the school," said the motion, filed by attorney Gerald H. Stocks of Decatur firm Featherston, Gaumer, Stocks, Flynn, and Eck. "Heritage clients suffering from the most serious behavioral disorders will be loitering in proximity to high school students," the motion continues, claiming criminal activity exposing high school students to victimhood in proximity to the school, in parking lots, on public transportation, and in area restaurants patronized by students. The motion cites what it claims is a history of trouble associated with Heritage's current location at 151 North Main Street in downtown Decatur. It says Heritage clients loiter in the area and deposits of human feces regularly occur on sidewalks bounding the Heritage Behavioral Health Center facility. It also claims the police have been called to respond to more than 100 incidents ranging from assault, battery, public indecency, theft, and sexual offenses in the last 5 years at the downtown location. Heritage Behavioral Health Center President and CEO Mary Garrison had not heard of the injunction motion when contacted by the Herald and Review. She declined to comment. But in previous statements to the paper, she disputed the claims about crime associated with Heritage clients. She also said St. Teresa's leadership was overreacting. "It's NIMBY. Not in my backyard. It's fear," she said in an interview back in November of 2023, when news of the confrontation with St. Teresa broke. "And we need to talk about how we can help alleviate that fear and talk about how we need to reduce stigma. For me, the information that is being put forth is inaccurate information." She had also said, "If compromise could not be reached with the high school, Heritage would respond through our agency attorney. That time now appears to have arrived." Hendrickson, meanwhile, said the school had harbored hopes the Decatur City Council might have intervened to block the Heritage plans because of the threats they posed to the campus. "We really hoped that by now the City Council would have stopped it," he added. "But counselors refused to discuss it at a meeting we attended, and so now Heritage is proceeding, and we must take our own actions." Heritage's development plans for the Northgate site have already picked up quite a head of steam, with the recent announcement it had received $43.8 million grant to pay for renovations. That money came from the Illinois Capital Development Board and the Illinois Department of Healthcare and Family Services. It's the latest in a series of fortunate events for Heritage, which was gifted the whole 30,000 square foot North Gate site by Decatur's Andreas family, Andreas. The injunction paperwork filed on behalf of St. Teresa claims 4,000 current clients using Heritage services could jump to as many as 10,000, and so further, it says, heightening the potential risks to its students. And because of the dangers posed to them, St. Teresa says its own financial health is also at risk, as parents threaten their intention to attend other schools and or withdrawing from St. Teresa or its feeder elementary schools, threatening the financial viability of the high school by reducing tuition revenues, according to the motion for an injunction. No dates for further court hearings have been set yet at Macon County Circuit Court. Out of Forsyth, cannabis retailer to open in May. Macon County getting second dispensary. Story by Valerie Wells, Wells. Forsyth is posed to be home to Macon County's second cannabis dispensary. We expect to start construction in the next 30 days, and we're targeting the facility to open in late May, operator manager Tim O'Hearn, O-H-E-R-N, said. The dispensary will be in the former Hickory Point Bank building at 1401 Hickory Point Drive. The building was recently sold to 1401 Hickory Point Investments, LLC of Vermont, Illinois, for $800,000. We are overhauling the exterior of the facility, so it'll have a new look compared to what it's currently at. But what that will look like is still in development, O'Hearn said. O'Hearn said the state licenses are in hand in the name of Illinois Health and Wellness. The store will be called Bud and Rita's, named after O'Hearn's grandparents, like the company's other dispensaries in the Chicago area, he said. Also like those other dispensaries, it will have a 1950s diner color scheme with checkerboard floors and lots of chrome. Forsyth Mayor Jim Peck said all that remains now is for the company to pull building permits to begin construction. The company submitted plans to the village, but those plans have not yet been approved, and building permits have not been issued. In August, the Forsyth Village Board approved a change in the village ordinance to allow a dispensary, though other cannabis-related businesses, such as growers, infusers, and processors, are still prohibited within village boundaries. Macon County voters approved the sale of recreational cannabis in 2020, and so far only one dispensary is open in the county, Mystic Greens in Harristown. During meetings to gather community input on the idea of a Forsyth dispensary, residents were split, with some solidly against it and others in favor of allowing such a business. During discussions before the board's vote to change the ordinance, Trustee Marilyn Johnson said one of her concerns is for the needs of those who use cannabis for medical reasons. But even for recreational users, Forsyth's lack of a dispensary is not going to prevent the use of cannabis, she said. It's here, she said. It's not going to change my values or your values. It's great tax revenue. It's here, and it's legalized in Illinois. Lawmakers in 2019 made Illinois the 11th state to legalize recreational marijuana. The legalization, signed by Governor J.B. Pritzker, made cannabis growth, sales, possession, and consumption legal for adults 21 and over. Company officials have estimated the first year's tax revenue to the village from the sale of cannabis would be more than $560,000. Michael Morthland, M-O-R-T-H-L-A-N-D, of Illinois Health and Wellness, previously stated the company will donate 3% of its revenue to local charitable causes. Elsewhere in Macon County, Argenta and Maroa have expressed a willingness to have dispensaries in their communities. Decatur City Council members continue to oppose allowing a dispensary within city limits. The Macon County Board was approached in May by a group interested in locating a dispensary in the unincorporated in an unincorporated area near the Pilot Travel Center near Illinois 48 and Interstate 72. Macon County currently prohibits such businesses in unincorporated areas. Next story is immigration. Poll: Border Consensus Has Limits, by Amelia Thompson DeVoe and Tim Sullivan, Thomson hyphen DeveaUX, and Sullivan, Sullivan, out of Washington, in the Associated Press. Many U.S. adults are on board with the idea of beefing up security at the southern border and undertaking some targeted deportations, according to a new poll. But as President Donald Trump begins his second term with sweeping executive orders on immigration, the findings suggest his actions may quickly push the country beyond the limited consensus that exists on the issue. There is a clear desire for some kind of action on U.S.-Mexico border security, according to the survey from the Associated Press NORC for Public Affairs Research. Half of U.S. adults think increasing security at the border should be a high priority for the federal government, according to the poll, and about 3 in 10 say it should be a moderate priority. Just 2 in 10, roughly, consider it a low priority. The vast majority of U.S. adults favor deporting immigrants convicted of violent crimes, but Trump's initial executive orders went far beyond that, including efforts to keep asylum seekers in Mexico and end birthright citizenship. Trump, a Republican, promises to deport millions of people who enter the country illegally while declaring a national emergency at our southern border. About 4 in 10 American adults support deporting all immigrants living in the U.S. illegally, and a similar share are opposed. The APNORC poll of 1,147 adults was conducted January 9th to 13th using a sample drawn from NORC's probability-based AmeriSpeak panel, designed to be representative of the U.S. population. The margin of sampling error for adults overall is plus or minus 3.9 percentage points. Immigration was a key issue in the 2024 election, and the poll indicates that it's still a high priority for many Americans. Illegal border crossings soared under Trump's predecessor, President Joe Biden, with border arrests from Mexico reaching a record high of 250,000 in December 2023. Crossings plunged since then amid increased Mexican enforcement and the Democratic Biden administration's June 2024 order that dramatically limited asylum claims at the border. Still, memories of the rising numbers and the chaos that ensued when Republican governors bussed migrants to northern cities may have helped shape American attitudes. The survey found about half of Americans think the government is spending too little on border security, and the vast majority favor deportations of people convicted of violent crimes. "I want to see more people coming here legally," said Manuel Morales, M-O-R-A-L-E-S, 60, a Democrat who and internet provider technician who lives near Moline, Illinois. He first came to the U.S. by crossing the border illegally from Mexico nearly 40 years ago. "But at the same time, I'm against all these caravans coming to the border, with thousands and thousands of people at one time." He's deeply sympathetic to migrants who come to the U.S. to escape repression or poverty, and feels too many Americans don't understand the years-long efforts required to enter the U.S. legally. Yet, he also believes the number of migrants simply became too great. "We cannot just receive everybody into this country," he said. Trump calls for mass deportations of people living in the U.S. illegally, but the survey indicates many Americans are conflicted about mass roundups. Removing immigrants who are in the country illegally and have not committed a violent crime is highly divisive, with only about 4 in 10 U.S. adults in support and slightly more than 4 in 10 opposed. Relatively few Americans, about 3 in 10, somewhat or strongly favor changing the Constitution so children born in the U.S. are not automatically granted citizenship if their parents are in the country illegally. About 2 in 10 are neutral, and about half are somewhat or strongly opposed. Doug DeVore, DeVore, 57, a Republican living in southern Indiana, believes immigration went haywire during the Biden administration. Still, the idea of large-scale operations to check people's immigration status makes him uncomfortable. I probably wouldn't be 100% against it, he said, but there's that fine line between gathering information on people living in the U.S. illegally and automatically deporting them, added DeVore, who works in a candy factory. As the Trump administration prepares to attack sanctuary jurisdictions that limit cooperation with federal immigration authorities, the poll found the vast majority of U.S. adults think police in their community should cooperate with federal immigration authorities to deport people who are in the country illegally in at least some cases. Only about 1 in 10 Americans say the local police should never cooperate with federal law enforcement on these deportations. There's a divide, though, on whether cooperation should happen across the board or only sometimes. About two-thirds of Republicans say local police should always cooperate, a view that only about one-quarter of Democrats share. But relatively few Democrats say local police should never cooperate, and about two-thirds say cooperation should happen in some cases. On Tuesday, the Trump administration threw out policies limiting arrests of migrants in sensitive places like schools and churches. The poll found only about 2 in 10 U.S. adults somewhat or strongly favor arresting children in the country illegally while they are at school, and a similar share support arresting people who are in the country illegally while they are at church. Solid majorities, about 6 in 10, oppose these kinds of results. Of arrests. Less than half of Republicans favor arrests of children in schools or people at church. Indiana May ID Abortion Patients by Dan Carden, Carden, out of Indianapolis. Women who obtain an abortion in Indiana no longer can be certain a state-mandated record of their procedure won't be used to publicly expose their identity. Republican Indiana Governor Mike Braun signed an executive order Wednesday directing the Indiana Department of Health to reconsider the policy it followed under Republican former Governor Eric Holcomb that kept terminated pregnancy reports, TPRs, confidential following the August 2023 implementation of the state's near-total abortion ban. The news came as Planned Parenthood of Illinois announced the closure of four health centers in Bloomington, Decatur, Ottawa, and Chicago's Englewood neighborhood. The organization cited increased patient volume, rising costs, and low insurance reimbursement rates as factors in the decision. A 2022 Indiana law requires hospitals to collect and report to the state more than 30 categories of data on each abortion, including demographic information on the patient, characteristics of the pregnancy, the legal justification for the abortion, and details about the doctor who performed the abortion. TPRs do not contain an abortion patient's name, but Holcomb's state health agency, as well as Indiana's public access counselor, concluded such voluminous data on the now tiny number of Indiana abortions could be reverse engineered to identify specific women who obtained an abortion, especially in smaller communities. As a result, they said TPRs must be excluded from public release under the Access to Public Records Act, the same as any other patient medical records. Republican Attorney General Todd Rokita, R-O-K-I-T-A, last year invited a legal challenge to that policy, despite his statutory obligation to represent the Department of Health. and the South Bend anti-abortion group Voices for Life promptly filed a lawsuit seeking access to TPRs. A federal judge dismissed that case in September after determining current state law clearly exempts TPRs from release under the state's Access to Public Records Act, and the state health agency is under no obligation to provide the reports to Voices for Life, notwithstanding Rokita's contrary opinion. The Republican-controlled General Assembly is poised to change that. Senate Bill 240, currently awaiting action by the Senate Committee on Health and Provider Services, would explicitly exclude TPRs from the medical records exception in the Access to Public Records Act. House Democratic Leader Phil Giaquinta, Giaquinta, Democrat of Fort Wayne, said Braun's executive order is cruel and unbefitting of our state and will put women through more pain than they've already been through. Since Indiana law only allows abortion in cases of rape or incest, when the physical life, health, or life of a woman is at risk, or due to a lethal fetal anomaly. Can you imagine how painful that must be for affected women, girls, their spouses, and their children? I am disappointed that Governor Braun wants to put their suffering on display for anyone to see by ordering the Indiana Department of Health to release their records in the form of terminated pregnancy reports, Giaquinta said. Records show just 159 abortions were performed at Indiana hospitals between October 1, 2023 and September 30, 2024. That was less than 2% of the 9,529 abortions women obtained in the state during calendar year 2022, when the rights formerly guaranteed by Roe v. Wade still were recognized in Indiana. Next story is the Coles County Animal Shelter. There's a picture of Nigerian dwarf goat Carla is held by her owner. Coles County Animal Shelter manager Julie Detters on Thursday at this facility. And there's a woman holding a small goat. Kid finds winter home. Orphaned baby goat staying at Coles County Animal Shelter by Rob Stroud, Stroud, out of Charleston. It's not unusual to periodically see small farm animals and other exotic pets available for adoption alongside the cats and dogs in the enclosures at the Coles County Animal Shelter. However, one particularly small farm animal has become a fixture in the shelter's front office this winter while keeping the staff company there. That critter is Carla, a baby Nigerian dwarf goat who weighs 7 pounds, 9 ounces. Carla would normally stay with the other goats at the country home of her owner, shelter manager Julie Dieters, Deters, but is orphaned. Consequently, Dieters has needed to keep Carla close by her during infancy while still handling her responsibilities at the shelter, which is located south of Illinois 16 between Charleston and Mattoon. She has been coming back and forth to work with me, Dieters said of Carla, who was born on January 1st. She is still with me for another week. Then she will be okay 8 hours between feedings. She is 21 days old Thursday. Carla gets along well with the family dogs at her home and has proven to be equally trainable, Dieters said. The baby goat has been curling up on a soft dog bed and has been doing really well using a puppy bee pad, she said. That has enabled Carla to become an inside goat while spending her first weeks of life indoors during the frigid winter outdoors, Dieters said. She noted that Carla has jammies and everything. Dieters said Carla has not been bothered by the presence of the many cats and dogs nearby at the shelter, although office cat Gemma has been keeping her distance from the unfamiliar animal. Gemma will come in and sit on the desk, but she still gives her the eye, said Animal Control Officer Brenda Hall, adding for herself that she is a big fan of Carla. She is so sweet and she is very friendly to everybody. I'm going to miss her when she's gone. Dieter said she probably won't keep Carla indoors long term and will instead introduce her to staying with the rest of the goat herd sometime within the next 3 months. Still, Dieter said Carla's time in her family's home and in the shelter's office would provide a good foundation for her to visit local schools and special events. The dwarf goat could then help promote the adoptable animals at the shelter and the ongoing need for supplies to care for them. My goal is to keep her socialized, Dieter said of Carla. Huddle House Decatur to Close by Scott Perry, Perry. Out of Decatur. 2 years after it opened its doors, Huddle House Decatur is closing. We regret to announce the closure of the Huddle House at 3904 East Hospitality Lane, Decatur, Illinois, at the end of the close of business on February 1, 2025, a Thursday morning post on the restaurant's Facebook page read. While this is not the outcome we hoped for, and despite our best efforts, we determined this closure was necessary. The diner-themed restaurant, which offers breakfast, lunch, and dinner items throughout the day, began operating on February 1, 2023, in a new building near the Illinois 48 Interstate 72 interchange. The franchise restaurant is owned by Jessica Michael and Chazare Carson. We are Decatur natives who grew up in this community. We are normal people with normal jobs and started this business from the ground up with our own earnings and no incentives or breaks from the government, Michael wrote in a separate Facebook post. While corporate-owned multi-unit franchises or different tiered restaurants may weather the storm, I know this is a challenging time for independent operators. I encourage you to show them your support and to encourage your government officials to offer relief options for small businesses to stay open and keep people employed. Michael's post went on to praise the staff for their hard work and dedication. We have an excellent team. They run a clean store with some of the highest audit scores in the country, great reviews, and have always passed inspections. I have had the privilege of working alongside each of our employees, and I highly recommend them to any business who is looking for high-quality service. Stories in brief. County to get 52,000 for food and shelter out of Decatur. Macon County is set to receive $52,517 in federal funding that will be distributed to local agencies offering emergency food and shelter programs. Local qualifying agencies have until Friday, February 7th to submit a letter of request to receive funding. Letters can be sent to tmurray@empowerdecatur.org. Agencies applying for the first time are asked to email or call 217-428-0155, extension 1006 for an application. A board of representatives from Macon County, charities, and shelters determines how the funds are distributed. Emergency Food and Shelter National Board terms, state agencies chosen to receive funds must be private, voluntary, nonprofits, or units of government, be eligible to receive federal funds, have an accounting system, practice non-discrimination, have demonstrated the capability to deliver emergency food and/or shelter programs, and have a voluntary board if they are a private voluntary organization. Heartland to host FAFSA workshop out of Lincoln. Heartland Community College in Lincoln will host a free workshop on Monday to help individuals complete the free application for Federal Student Aid, FAFSA, for the 2025-26 school year. The event is available for local high school seniors and prospective college students from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at Heartland's Lincoln campus, 2201 Woodlawn Road. Heartland Financial Aid and Illinois Student Assistance Commission representatives will lead the session, which will include a FAFSA presentation and time for staff to answer questions and help attendees complete the application. The workshop is free, but pre-registration is required online as seating is limited. Register by calling the Lincoln campus at 217-735-1731. Those who plan to participate are asked to bring a driver's license or state ID, 2023 federal income tax forms, 2023, and W-2s, and amounts of untaxed income received in 2023. Attendees should also bring their parents' 2023 federal income tax forms and W-2s, unless the prospective student was born before January 1, 2001, is married, is a supporting dependent, or is a ward of the court or an orphan, or served active duty in the U.S. military. We will take a short break now and begin again the second half of our Decatur Herald and Review for Friday, January 24th, 2025.